Great to have all these testimonies. God never changes. God is in the business of healing and restoring and making all things new. And Jesus climbed the mountains. Many a times you read in the scriptures, Jesus went up the mountain to pray. So there's plenty of mountains. I told Chris, in Scotland, there's the Moon Roads. So that's a life challenge to go up to the top of all the Moros and pray in them all, and for the power of God to be released over the nation. We're going to come to the Word of God this morning. You know, and it's, when you take the Bible, it's such an amazing book. It opens with the tree of life, and it finishes with the tree of life. And then in between, there's a whole lot of stuff that goes on. And then the beginning, as you get the details of the fall, at the end is the details of those things being restored. But in between, there are things in the scripture given for our enlightenment. And sometimes we come across a little saying or something in the scripture, and we can pass over it and never really get to grips with what it is telling us. See, in the scripture, there is nothing written by accident. Many times we've spoken in the past about the time when Jesus spoke to Peter and he'd asked, how many times should I forgive? And he says, 70 times 7. And that's 490. And of course, that takes you to Daniel's vision. And also takes you to always, Israel's history is always in 490 years. And so there's revelation there that you get. And today there's a scripture that says, I see men walking. I see men as trees walking. You ever thought about that scripture? I see men as trees walking. And when we come to the scriptures, this starts to give us an insight, because the Bible tells us how we interpret scripture. The Bible says in Hosea 12:10, I have also spoken by the prophets, and I have multiplied visions and used similitudes by the ministry of the prophets, and use similitudes. What is that? That is the state of something being similar. It's almost the same. It's a feature that is similar. It's a comparison. And the Bible says, I see men as trees walking. It is a comparison where it takes the trees and it identifies them with men. In the Psalm 37, it tells us that the wicked are compared to a green bay tree. Israel in scripture is compared to the fig tree. And we could spend the whole day this morning just talking about the fig tree, because Jesus said once you start to see the fig tree blossom, and he starts to talk about all the restoration at the end of the race, so that you'll know that his coming is near. Now the psalmist in Psalm 1 spoke about the person who is righteous. And what he says in that psalm, he says, the person who is righteous is not going to be in the counsel of the ungodly. He is not going to be in the way of sinners. And he's not going to be in the seat of the scornful. So what he's telling us here, here is a progression of life. If you begin by taking your seat amongst the ungodly, and you start to take advice from the ungodly, your next step in that journey is you're going to find yourself in the way of these ungodly people. And as you continue in the way of these ungodly people, you're going to end up like them, ridiculing others who don't believe what they believe, and you're going to be showing off and ridiculing those who talk about the way of salvation. Because that is just the way of sinners, the way of the scornful. But the Bible says, the man that meditates on the word of God, Job says, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. So Job says, the words which come from God, they're more important to me than my food. So when it comes to the psalmist, he says in verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And he brings forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does is going to prosper. So the righteous man is compared to a tree that is planted by the rivers. And it doesn't matter what comes along, he is grounded firm. In other words, he is grounded firm in the word of the living God. He is not shaken by the wind that comes. He is not shaken by the circumstances that come. Because he's grounded on a foundation that is going to endure for eternity. Because the scriptures tell us heaven and earth can pass away, but his words will endure. His words endure. And so the psalmist is building his life upon the words of the living God. And so he's planted by the rivers of water, the rivers of God that comes, these streams of living water. And it brings forth fruit in its season. It's not bringing forth fruit necessarily every day, but in its season, it brings forth fruit. And his leaf is there, and it didn't wither. And whatsoever he puts his hand to prospers. Because the blessing of God is upon him. And this is further elaborated by the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 70 says, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat comes. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. So Jeremiah said, blessed is that man who trusts in the Lord. Now, you only have one life to live. And you've only one life to demonstrate your trust in God. And the Bible here said, blessed is the man that trusts in him. And whose hope is the Lord, because he says, a tree planted by the waters, but when the heat comes, when the trials come, when the things get difficult, when the persecution comes, when everything starts to turn around, what does he say? His leaf remains green. And even when the drought comes, you know there's droughts in the world today. There are major droughts in the world today. California's got big problems. America's got big problems with two of our biggest reservoirs. Drought, some parts of China, there's lots of water, other parts are drought. There's drought, but the Bible talks about the righteous man. See, God doesn't forsake those who put their trust in him. Because the Bible tells us, God said, I will never leave you, neither will I forsake you. But many people are forsaking the Lord. Many people have forgotten what the scripture says. That which has been will be, and that which has been before, there's nothing new under the sun. When things got difficult in the past, people forsook the Lord. Those who remained faithful, God was with them. Nothing changes in life. Also, another thing which is interesting, when we look at this similitude, as and like. Wisdom is like a tree. Proverbs 3:18 says, she is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that detaineth her. So even the tree of life is, and wisdom is compared to it. The Bible talks about the righteous are compared to the palm trees. Psalm 92:12. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Notice again the word. The righteous shall flourish like. So the similitude is coming here. God has given you a comparison of how to understand in Scripture and how to interpret Scripture. As men trees are like trees walking, like the palm tree, like the cedar that grows tall. Psalm 92:13 goes on to say, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the court of our God. Because the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree, he shall grow like the cedar in Lebanon, and he's planted in the house of the Lord. Do you know, Solomon, when he built the temple, he had carved on the walls of palm trees. The temple that was built, it was built by all the cedars. And the scriptures here say, planted in the house of the Lord. Psalmist said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Because he discovered something true about God. He discovered the truth about the living God. And so, as we look at the scriptures, when you think of the palm tree, I think, is maybe about 7 years when it begins its first fruit. But you know, it's about 30 years when it starts to produce fruit, which is much more mature. The older the palm tree grows, the better the fruit that comes from it. And that talks about our walk with Christ. When we walk that journey and walk that road, we become more fruitful as we get older. And the cedar, the Bible says, the cedar is tall, isn't it? The cedar is tall. And so it's telling us, it's good to grow and to be tall, like the cedar. But if you're going to be tall like this, but if you're going to be tall, you've got to make sure you're like the palm tree, but you stay straight. You're not bent in the wind, but you remain straight. And so let's come to what we really want to talk about today. This comparison of a tree. Zechariah 11:2 says, hurl for trees, for the seed that has fallen, because the mighty are spoiled. Hurl, O ye oaks of Bashan. And then if we go on to Isaiah 2:12, for the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. Talks about the cedar has fallen, because it talks about the cedar. The people get compared to the cedar. They become proud. They become lofty. They want to see themselves being lifted up. They see themselves high up over everybody. They see themselves controlling everybody, putting their plan, everybody else under their feet. Isaiah continues, and upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan. So he talks about how they're going to be brought low. They're going to be brought low. And this is important because Ezekiel 31, it says, son of man, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to his multitude. And he asked Pharaoh the question, who do you think you are? Who do you think you're like in the greatness of your might? Who do you think, Pharaoh, that you are like in the greatness of your might? Who are you comparing yourself to, Pharaoh? And then he goes on to say, let me tell you a few things, Pharaoh. And he goes on to say, behold the Assyrian, was a cedar in Lebanon. So we're going into the Syrian Empire. Behold, he was a cedar in Lebanon with fair branches, and with a shadowing shroud, and of a high stature, and his top was among the slick boughs. The waters made him great, the deep set him up on earth with her rivers running round about his plant, and sent out her little rivers unto all the trees of the field. Therefore, his height was exalted above all the trees of the field. Very proud person. He was really proud. He is above everybody. He's looking down at everybody. And his boughs were multiplied, and his branches became long because of the multitude of waters when he shot forth. And all the fowls of heaven made their nest in his boughs. And under his branches did all the beasts of the field bring forth their young, and under his shadow dwell all the great nations. Pharaoh, you think you're great. Let me tell you about this city. Who was like this cedar who grew really, really tall? Look down on everybody. He's feeding everybody. Everybody is under the shadow of his wings, under the branches. He is ruling over all. I want to tell you what happened to him. But first, let me tell you about somebody else who thought he was a cedar. Nebuchadnezzar. Go back to Daniel chapter 4, verse 10 to 22. The tree that Nebuchadnezzar saw. What happened? It grew tall. The branches, everything under it, speaking to us the same things which we read about of the Assyrian. And so Pharaoh is likened to this cedar tree, this huge tree. And his comparison was Nebuchadnezzar. His comparison is the Assyrian. And it reminds us when you come to Matthew 13, doesn't it? Which indeed of the least of the seeds, that when it grows it is the greatest among herbs and becometh great, so that the birds of all the air come and hide in the branches. But the Bible tells us about these birds in Matthew that they're demons, demonic spirits. And you get this going through the scriptures, this cedar which is likened to people, likened to the kingdoms as well. It grows and everybody is getting fed and getting all the supplies, and this, they're meeting everybody's needs, they're charging everybody, and they become so proud. But the Bible takes it further. It said, I'm going to tell you something else. It's not just the Assyrian that was proud. You're not the first person to say to Pharaoh. The Assyrian was proud. Nebuchadnezzar was proud. He said, but there are somebody greater than all of you who's proud. And he goes on to say, the cedars in the garden of God could not hide him. So the cedars in the garden of God. So we're no longer just talking about here in the natural realm. The fir trees were not like his boughs, and the chestnut trees were not like his branches, nor any tree in the garden of God was like unto him in his beauty. Do you know who they're talking about? Ezekiel 9 says, I have made him fair by the multitude of his branches, so that all the trees of Eden that were in the garden of God envied him. In Ezekiel 20:12, and thus saith the Lord God, seals up the sun, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. There's only one who is perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. None of us have been in Eden, the garden of God. Pharaoh was not in Eden, the garden of God. The Assyrian was not in the garden of God. Nebuchadnezzar was not in the garden of God. But Lucifer was in the garden of God. And he's likened to this cedar who is tall above everything else, and he looks at his beauty. And his pride comes in. He said, I'm perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God, and every precious stone was your covering. the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tablets and of all thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Everything was prepared in Lucifer in the day he was created. And if we went to Isaiah 14, we would read about him, how that pride came in, and how he wanted to exalt his throne above the throne of God, how that he wanted to be above everybody, and he looked down on everybody, and everything would be under his control. And see, Pharaoh was replicating that which is at a higher level. The Assyrian was replicating that which was at a higher level. Nebuchadnezzar was replicating that which was at a higher level, because they were imitating Lucifer, who was the cedar in the Garden of Eden. And the Bible says, in the day that you were created. He is a creation of God. But though he is a creation of God, and though he is mighty, he is getting cast down. Because the end of the ungodly is given. Ezekiel 31:18, to whom are you like in glory and greatness? See, the question comes up again. Who are you like in greatness and glory? Among the trees of Eden. So Lucifer gets asked the question now. Who do you think you're like in greatness and glory among all these trees in the Garden of Eden? Because remember, we're going back to how God interprets Scripture. Men as trees walking. They're like, that's how God gives you insight into revelations. And here in the Scriptures, the revelations of the cedar, the revelations of comparing them to these people who were in the empires, but taking it further into the Garden of Eden itself, to Satan himself. To whom among the trees of Eden do you think you're like Lucifer? You think you're proud. You think you're haughty, you think you're high and lifted up, but you're going to get brought low. You're going to go down to the pits of hell. You're going to go down into the very depths. And he says, yet shalt thou be brought down with the trees of Eden. And that could be the other trees of Eden who follow Lucifer. Unto the nether parts of the earth, thou shalt lie in the midst of the uncircumcised, with them that be slain by the sword. And then it goes, this is Pharaoh and all his multitude. Saith the Lord, going from Lucifer and then coming back to Pharaoh. Pharaoh, you're going to end up, and the one that you're imitating is going to be following you. Ezekiel verse 16, chapter 31. And here's prophecy in advance. I made the nations to shake at the sound of his fall. The nations are going to shake at the fall of Satan. The nations will shake when Lucifer is cast down. And when I cast him down to hell, with them that descend into the pit. So Lucifer is going to be cast down into hell, into the very pit itself. And Pharaoh was getting an indication. The prophet Ezekiel spoke to him and gave him the revelation of what happens to the godly and the wicked. And if you go on to Ezekiel chapter 32. Chapter 32 starts to go through talking about all the different people groups. What they've done, but where they've ended up. Down in the pit of hell. It goes through them. Asher, Elam, Elam, which is Persia, goes right through Meshach and Tubal, which is the name from the Old Testament which you can trace to modern day nations, the kings of Edom, the princes of the north, the Sidonians, which are gone down with the slain, with the terror they are ashamed of their might, and they lie uncircumcised with them that be slain by the sword. And hear the shame of them that go down to the pit. Pharaoh shall see them, and shall be comforted over all his multitude. Even Pharaoh and all his army slain by the sword, saith on. No, it's saying there, no comfort that Pharaoh's going to get is that all the other nations that he fought against and were before them are all in the same place. And no, but that gives us an indication too. No comfort that Lucifer is ever going to get when he goes down into the pit of hell is how many people he's been able to take with him and how many nations he's been able to take with him. He has no other comfort whatsoever. And so the Bible gives us a stark comparison. You men as trees walking, or you can be like the cedar. You can be like the righteous man who goes by the river whose branches never fail. And the blessings of God come and the life of God comes into them. Or you can go after the way of the ungodly and the wicked. And the Bible doesn't say there's annihilation. The Bible says you go to the nether parts of the earth, down into hell itself. The place of unrighteous. The Bible says it was prepared for the devil and his angels. Never prepared for man, but for the devil and his angels. And that's why the gospel is such great news. Because the Saviour of the world is the very Son of God who came from eternity into time. See, in the heavenlies, when the Godhead was tempted by Satan, Jesus never ever rebuked him. You'll read it in Zechariah. But when Jesus took on the form of man and came into this earth, he took on the works of Satan and Satan himself. And the Bible tells us if Satan had known that by the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, that his kingdom would have brought to an end, he would have never crucified him. But Jesus died for the sinner. Jesus died to redeem those who were lost so that they could become like the righteous man by the river whose fruit never fails and who has the power and the presence and the goodness of the life of God flowing through them both from now and eternity. Don't be deceived. God has made it plain the wicked will be turned to hell. There is no in between. You either repent of your sin and follow Christ, or you go the way of the wicked, you go the way of the Assyrian, you go the way of Pharaoh, you go the way of what we're reading through about the men who became so proud. And ultimately, it is the way of Lucifer, the one who rebelled in the heavens, the one who's at the center of all the problems that we have on this world. The one who moves through this world to manipulate people for his own ends. But the good news today is the gospel. Jesus Christ, the Saviour, the Son of God, died on a tree. Shed his blood so that we can have forgiveness of sins. It is the good news of the gospel. There is power in the word of God to resurrect the dead. The word of God that is power for healing and deliverance. Jesus, the Bible says, has not come to those who don't need a physician. But he has come to those who need a physician, those who are sick, those who are in need, those who are sinners and need his grace and his power to forgive, and his blood to wash and cleanse them from all their sin and unrighteousness. They need the Saviour. So when you go through the scriptures, and you should take time to read them, and then you should start to take time to look. When God said, they are as this, they are like that, he's given you information that you should not ignore. Because God wants to make sure that everyone comes to a knowledge of the truth. Nothing new under the sun. We live in tough times. We live in times where people are throwing away their faith in God. They've done it in the past. Where are they? They're with the Assyrian. They're with Pharaoh. They have no hope now. You go over the threshold of time into eternity, that's it sealed. Over in eternity without Christ, lost forever. In the nether parts of the earth, pits of hell. without hope. But those who have the Saviour, they have great hope. And to demonstrate that Jesus died on the cross to release his love and his forgiveness unto us all. So today, be encouraged to know the word of God, to follow the Saviour, and not to be one who's going to be blinded and end up like Pharaoh or the Assyrian, or where Lucifer is going to eventually end up. But put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the power of the word of the living God. That word never changes. The power of that word never changes. Father, we thank you through the blood of Jesus there is forgiveness of sins and cleansing. Through the word of God that is life. And so, Father, we pray that those who hear the words today will not close their ears and not rebel like Pharaoh. But Father, will be like the man who is planted by the rivers of water. The righteous man who knows the blessings of God and the power of God and can stand in the evil day. In Jesus' name, amen.